This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day. As we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information, presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. We have got State Representative Alex Gerlatos in. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So, first of all, I mean, a lot of things have been going on. I know it's summertime, so the legislature is not, you know, in between things and all that. But I know that all of you that are in office stay pretty busy. Wanted to start out asking you, first of all, we've had a couple of Supreme Court rulings this week, one on birthright citizenship, one on counting ballots after Election Day. Do you have any thoughts on those?
Yeah, the birthright citizenship one is really interesting. Because if you look at the arguments, it really kind of hinges on one phrase, which is subject to the jurisdiction thereof, which means that if you're implying that someone's a citizen because your country has jurisdiction over them, that wouldn't exactly apply, I think, to people who already are under the jurisdiction of a foreign country and have a foreign passport and are foreign citizens. So you have to ask why they would include that language in the 14th Amendment. And I think it's pretty obvious that it's because of people that lived in this country but were not under our jurisdiction at the time, like freed slaves. And I think that's pretty clear. That's what the 14th Amendment was meant to apply to. And, you know, under the current ruling or interpretation, you could make the argument that, you know, if a foreign army invades the United States and they bring some pregnant women who give birth on American soil, then they're now American citizens as well, even though they're an invading army. I mean, to me, it just doesn't really make much sense. And then for the counting votes after Election Day, you could kind of go one way or another on the Supreme Court ruling. But at the end of the day, I think we need legislation to fix that as well, probably with birthright citizenship now, unfortunately.
Now, let's back up, because we haven't talked in a while, and go clear back to the primary election, which seems like a very long time ago. What are your thoughts on the governor's race?
I think it was really interesting how everything shook out. Ed Deal did much better than I think even a lot of people expected. So I think that'll be interesting to see what his future holds. But, you know, I think Christine Drazen running a second time is going to have a big advantage, especially since she's running against Tina Kotek, who she ran against before. And Tina Kotek has failed the state of Oregon, I think, pretty dramatically. There's the Prosperity Council that she's not doing anything with. They're recommending all sorts of things that we could fix before the next election. But of course, she's not going to, because it's just a talking point to help her win re-election. So I think that'll be a really interesting governor's race this time around. You add that on top of the gas tax that just went down, I think 86 to 14. I mean, that's almost every Republican, almost every independent and unaffiliated voter, and probably half the Democrats voted against that legislation that almost every single Democrat legislator voted for. And they knew it was unpopular, and they did it to appease the unions. And people are, frankly, very upset about it. And then, of course, we have IP-28, which is going to ban, you know, hunting, fishing, raising of livestock, pest control, everything else on the ballot. I mean, that's going to make people show up and vote. And if that doesn't, I don't know what will. So I think, despite maybe the national outlook, I think we're doing pretty good here in the state of Oregon.
So for the IP-28, the last I'd heard, they'd submitted some ballots. I'm not sure what their deadline is on that. And then the question mark, you know, always is how many ballots that were submitted have, you know, come from invalid signatures. So do you think it's going to make the ballot?
I think it will, yeah. There's kind of like a threshold number that they need to reach a minimum number of, and then there's an additional number that they need to meet to, you know, make sure that there's not invalid signatures. And I think they've met both thresholds, and I think it's pretty well certain that's going to make it on the ballot.
I know I caught some concern a week or two ago, not in the typical political circles, but actually in the outdoor hunting, fishing, recreating type community, where people looked around and went, wait a second, what?
Well, exactly. And I think there's going to be a lot of people that aren't typically politically engaged that are going to have to be engaged. And it's the old saying, you know, you might not care about politics, but politics cares about you. So you need to show up and vote and kill IP28 or whatever its ballot number is going to be.
You know, let's jump back to the governor's race. One of the aspects about the governor's race, and it's been interesting to watch a few races be fairly close over time, but the reality is that for a lot of people, even somebody my age, their entire adult life, if they've always lived in Oregon, has always had a Democratic governor.
Yeah, I mean, no kidding. The trend is not good for us. And I think if you look historically at states like Oregon, they always end up swinging. I mean, California used to be Republican. Now it's a Democrat. The Rust Belt used to be Democrat for however many number of years. Now it's Republican. Florida used to be a swing state. Now it's Republican. Things always shift. And I think Oregon is overdue for a right-wing shift. And I think it's just a question of how bad the citizens are willing to let things get in this state before they start voting for it to change. And if you look at aspirationally what the Democrat Party has been trying to do with the gas tax and now banning hunting and fishing and everything else, it's just not, it's not a good place. And I think people see that if we continue to let one party have a monopoly on power in this state, it's going to continue to lead to our demise. And that's not even talking about the state of education or the economy in this state.
Now, one of the things with Republican candidates, because Oregon is so divided between conservative areas, more progressive areas, and it seems like the Republican candidates in the past have always kind of had a tough time and how they position themselves. If you move a little more to the center, you pull some of the Democratic or progressive votes, but then you get some of the farther to the right folks mad at you. How do you balance all that and pull off a win?
Well, that's definitely the toughest thing to do. I think someone like Drazen is kind of uniquely positioned to do that. I think she is conservative, and I think she still appeals to the moderates. And at the end of the day, she has to make it not even about her personality, but a referendum on COTEC, a referendum on the gas tax, and a referendum to our position as a state. She almost needs to run, I think, on the issues themselves than just running against COTEC. It's a very, she should be making a very big picture argument and running against kind of the Democrat establishment as a whole. Because at the end of the day, I mean, like that gas tax vote that I mentioned, a lot of Democrats did not want to vote for it, but they were pressured to by the unions. It's this whole kind of establishment that there is in the state of Oregon of Democrat Party control that you really need to run against. Because again, even if you defeat COTEC or they find someone else, they're going to be just as bad. So we need not only to win the governor's race, but we need to at least get out of the supermajority in either the state house or the state senate as well.
And not long before the primary, we saw something interesting evolve where a number of the typical Democratic support groups, unions, et cetera, said they were not going to actually make an endorsement in the governor's race.
Yeah, I think they just did that because they were mad at Tina Kotek for a variety of reasons. You know, the unions in particular tend to get whatever they want out of the Democrat Party, so they'll always come home and support them in a general election. So I'm not really convinced that that necessarily means a lot. What I think is more interesting in the primaries is the amount of DSA candidates that beat Democrat incumbents in their primaries. I think that's fairly disturbing, seeing the even farther leftward shift of the Democrat Party in Oregon when they've already had control over 40 years and have, frankly, terrible results to show for it, and yet they're going to double down and become much worse. Again, it's just a question of how bad things can get before citizens have had enough.
Now, as you look ahead, what are some of your plans for the next session of the legislature?
Oh, we have I have a bunch of legislation that I'm introducing. We have, of course, I'm the deputy leader of the House Republicans, so I have a lot to do when it comes to fundraising and helping our new members get acquainted. But I have a list here. I have I'm going to bring back my immigration enforcement bill, which is cooperating with ICE to deport, you know, rapists and murderers, just kind of the most extreme cases. We have a bill on Ibogaine treatment that we're bringing back, K-trucks that we're bringing back. I want to do a bill on emergency nurse ratios. It costs the hospitals way too much money. We have a bill on raising law enforcement training and standards. Raising the inheritance tax exemption and threshold, exempting benefits, veteran benefits from divorce proceedings, and just a bunch of things like that. It's going to be a lot to handle, and frankly, I'll be excited if I get one or two of them passed, considering we're in the super minority here.
All right, we're going to talk more with Alex Stralatos when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock, going into, for many, a three-day weekend. State Representative Alex Stralatos is in here talking about legislative topics. Of the legislation you just mentioned going into the break, is there one in particular that you really want to push hard on?
I mean, I'd like to say all of them. I don't really introduce bills that I don't kind of personally care about in some capacity. And especially being in the super minority, you really have to, I guess the babysit would be the word. You have to really walk these bills through the legislature. In the majority party, if you can get the Speaker of the House to sign off on your bill, it's pretty much a sure thing that it's going to get passed. In the super minority, you know, we have to get everyone on board. We have to work with the chairman of the committee. We have to even get some Democrats on board. And so it takes a lot of effort. So, I mean, frankly, you know, some Republicans even introduce, you know, 30, 40, 50 bills. But I am not going to introduce any that I don't think I'll have the time to actually carry over the finish line if possible.
Now, during the summertime here, what kinds of legislative things are going on, or is it pretty quiet?
It's pretty quiet right now. You know, everyone's kind of on vacation or having fun. And on top of that, I just had my first child about 5 weeks ago. So I've been a little bit sidetracked with that as well. But, you know, I still went to the Douglas County Republican dinner the other day. I still have some stuff in the southern part of the district that I'm going to later in the summer. It's pretty constant. I mean, it's not, being in the state legislature is a part-time job, but there's a lot of ancillary things you have to do, not to mention campaign work.
Talk about that GOP gathering. That was last Saturday?
Sounds correct.
Yeah. What kinds of things was that all about?
It was kind of a early rally for America's 250th, just kind of a fundraiser for the local party as well. All the local Republican elected officials were there for the most part. You know, Chris Boyce was there. He's got a runoff he's going for in November. Myself, Virgil Osborne, David Brock Smith, Claire Lynn from the Coast, who just won her primary to replace Boomer Wright. That's a fairly safe enough Republican seat, so she'll probably be the next Republican from the Coast. She's fantastic. Noah Robinson, who's my state senator, anywhere South Douglas County, he was there as well. It was just, you know, the usual suspects, if you want to say it.
Now, talk about being minority. What is it? Deputy minority?
Deputy House Minority Leader.
So what's entailed with doing that?
Well, I pretty much do whatever the House Leader, House Minority Leader asks me to. Lucetta Elmer, she's fantastic. But what the job really entails is kind of organizing the other state legislators, the Republicans anyway, coordinating with them on legislation, working together to make sure everyone's kind of doing what they can for, you know, how they're going to vote, how they're going to raise money for the caucus so that we can help win elections, just kind of working together and staying together as a team. Because when you're in the super minority, we need every vote we can get to stop anything, and we still need a couple Democrats. So it's very hard, and we got to make sure all of our Republicans are on the same page.
And do you find that that generally is the case?
Yes and no. It just kind of depends on what the bill is we're talking about. There's a lot of things, again, because the Democrats are getting so extreme that we find it very easy to lock up on. But, you know, every once in a while, they'll try to poach a Republican here and there to try to get their vote, say that something's bipartisan, like they did with the gas tax. They got Cyrus Javidi to vote yes on that, even though at the time he was a Republican, and then immediately changed his voter affiliation to Democrat, and he probably only stayed Republican so that he could give them that vote and say that it was bipartisan.
Now, your district, District 4, takes up a lot of land space. Gosh, it goes how far south?
It goes down to Central Point, and it's kind of the area in between Roseburg, Grants Pass, and Medford. It's kind of all that area down there. And so I've got a lot of small communities like Canyonville, Rogue River, Gold Hill, Central Point, Glendale, Azalea, places like that.
And how well are you getting to know some of those places that you wouldn't normally be in quite as often?
Well, historically, I haven't spent a ton of time in Jackson County and even some parts of Josephine County. So I've spent a lot more time in Gold Hill and Rogue River in particular, because those communities I haven't been super familiar with in the past, you know, campaigning and whatever. And so, you know, I did a tour of both towns. Rogue River is actually a very well put together little city, and going even up Evans Creek, it's a beautiful little community. And then, you know, places like Gold Hill have a lot of infrastructure problems. Even Canyonville has some infrastructure problems. So trying to figure out what those are and bring money back to the district from the legislature to help kind of fund those projects in areas that don't have their own large tax base.
Now, as you are in the legislature for how many years now?
Well, two. I'm going for my next two right now.
So do you see, as you look down the road, what do you see, you know, have you thought about, okay, I want to serve this many years, or do you have an idea?
You know, I haven't really thought that deep into it just because I'm so new. But it's actually fun, interesting work. It would be a lot more fun if we were in the majority. And, you know, part of me would like to stay until we get the majority. But it just kind of depends what kind of opportunities come up. I just want to do what I can to serve the community. I don't want to be a career politician. You know, I've been campaigning long enough that, you know, I feel like I'm already starting to get burnt out on it. But at the same time, I feel like what we do in Salem is really important work. And, you know, it just kind of depend if I had someone qualified enough to replace me. But, you know, in the meantime, I think somewhere between 6 and 12 years would be plenty. It just kind of depends.
You know, in years past, over time, both Peter DeFazio and Cliff Bentz have talked about the difference between when your party is in power and when it's not. And boy, it's a on the federal level, at least, really a big stark contrast.
Oh, I mean, I wish I could speak to the contrast on the state level, but I wouldn't even know because it's been Democrat for so long. Yeah, it would be really nice to be able to actually get some things done for the state of Oregon and roll back some of these taxes and regulation, because things have gotten so bad. I feel like if people just had a two-year term of Republicans in control, I think we could make their lives so much better and so much more affordable that I don't think people would ever go back to the Democrat Party. And I think we would probably pick up a lot of voters if we were able to do that. And I think the Republican Party lately, at least in the state of Oregon, has kind of taken up the populist agenda, you know, when it comes to things like opposing the gas tax that, again, 86% of people were against, but yet the Democrat Party still rammed it through. I mean, that's not, you can't do things like that very often and still maintain control of a state, no matter how many voters you have or how much money the unions give you.
How do you think the Republicans are shaping up around the state in terms of the potential of picking up some seats in the legislature?
We've got a couple good opportunities. Obviously, the Cyrus Javity seat that I mentioned, he flipped and became a Democrat. So all of those Republicans that just got him elected are going to vote against him. So that should not go his way. We should be able to pick that seat back up. We have one or two difficult defends, depending on what kind of year it is. If it's a good year for us, they should be easy. And then we probably have another 5 seats that are pickup opportunities for us, a couple in Salem, couple in outskirts of Portland, and one in Springfield with Lively retiring. That seat probably wouldn't typically be on our radar, but since it's an open seat, that kind of changes the game. And if we do get a Democrat in that seat, it probably will go back to safe Democrat. So this is kind of our only opportunity, and we have to try. So that's kind of what's on our radar right now. I'm not, even if it was a great year, I don't think we're going to get a majority, but we at least need to get out of the super minority so that we can stop tax increases.
What are some of the things ahead on your schedule in the next week or so?
I think we just have a lot of, I'm doing a lot of campaign stuff and taking care of my newborn.
And well, that in itself may be its own full-time task.
Oh, it's an experience, but I love it.
All right, State Representative Alex Carlatos, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.